Well, this morning in 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to read verses 7 through 11. It's the 7-11 sermon. Okay, it's the 7-11 sermon. We're going to try and make it as inconvenient as possible. 7-11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. There are many elements of that which came out in our worship already today. But there's one word in there that I want to bring to your attention. It's the word grumble. Take a look at your neighbor and say, grumble. Anybody identify with that little word? Have you ever had that happen to you? You ever had that spirit rise up on the inside of you? Makes you all miserable with everybody around you? Makes you point your finger at everybody else and say, it's your fault that I'm feeling the way I'm feeling? You ever had that thing rise up inside of you? Bible says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I want you to know that this week I was a bit of a miserable wretch. I grumbled. I didn't grumble out loud a lot, but I grumbled. I sure grumbled a lot on the inside. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes we can grumble on the inside and have all the right smiles on the outside. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can think we're doing just fine, but on the inside, our hearts are just churning over. Like the little boy standing up in the back of the car as his dad's driving down the highway. His dad says, sit down, son. The son sits down, but he says, I'm sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm standing up. Is that you? Is that you? This week I had the privilege and the honor of taking my dear friend Sasha all over Cape Cod shopping. I want you to know that I love shopping. The Bible says, call those things that are not as though they were. So I'm just trying to make a positive confession here about loving shopping. We went shopping, and we went shopping, and we went shopping. It's amazing. I never knew a guy could do so much shopping. God bless him. My wife said to me, Eric, if you lived in Latvia, you'd also go shopping in America. Now, he discovered TJ Maxx and Marshall's and some of those awesome stores. He came back with deals from all over the place, The Gap. And he says, man, they've got a 70% off the 40% off they had before. It's like there's nothing. You pay $2 and you get yourself a really nice whatever. So he came home with boatloads of this stuff. And I'll tell you what, I had a lot of work to do this week. In fact, I had a lot of work to do this week because I spent the week before in Florida. Some of you guys know that. I was off on a little prayer retreat. And you'd think if I was going to go and spend some time away praying that the Lord would just, you know, bless me. That I'd come back and there'd be no work to catch up with. Anybody ever go on vacation and come back and there's work to be done? Leaves need to be raked in the yard or snow needs to be plowed or something needs to be done. Well, that's how it was. I came back from Florida and I had a week's worth of work piled up on my desk. And then my friend arrived. And so I said, I'll take care of the work some other time. As you know, today is the annual general meeting. And I got a lot of people coming to this meeting. And I wanted to make sure we had a good one. Well, I pushed the work to the back burner because it was more important to spend time with my friend shopping. Every moment of that shopping, I had a big smile on my face. Sasha, I hope you're enjoying yourself. I hope you're having a grand old time. I hope he's not listening to the sermon right now, okay? I hope you're having a grand old time, buddy, because I'm not. I'm thinking about all that work that needs to get done. You know, I wandered around grumbling on the inside of me. And you know the crazy thing is? It got worse. Did you know that God really doesn't approve of grumbling? Have you heard that before? I want to refer you back to a little passage of scripture in the book of Deuteronomy. God tells his people, and between the chapters chapter 5 and chapter 10, God tells a whole lot of things about the people of Israel and what he told them to do and how he'd given them strict instruction on how to live their lives and how to become a people. And they had just gone from watching and observing the glory of God and the wonderful things that he would show to suddenly being completely faithless. Completely faithless. They just watched God part the Red Sea. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever seen anything like that. Maybe on TV, but have you ever walked into the, you know, Cape Cod Bay and just like said, okay, take a big stick and just kind of put it in the water like Moses? You ever seen the water part? You can walk yourself over to Provincetown? Probably not. If you have, we probably need to talk. Something's going on. I've never seen that happen. The children of Israel saw that happen. They saw the army of Egypt get swallowed up in the waters. Somebody once said, some scholar said, they crossed through the Red Sea in a place where it was only 3 or 4 inches deep. That's great. No problem. How do you drown an Egyptian army in 3 or 4 inches of water? You figure that one out. Well, they watched God destroy the enemies. They watched God wash the enemies' weapons, which, by the way, were made out of steel and metal and bronze and all kinds of stuff, wash them up on the shore. I don't know how that happens. Usually that stuff sinks to the bottom like a rock. God washed it all up on the shore, so they were kitted out for war. They had weapons. God delivered them from their captivity, and 3 days later, just 3 measly little days, they were pointing their finger at everybody else and saying, why did you bring us out here in the wilderness? There's no water here to drink. My friends, I want to say this to you today. We have a problem with grumbling. I have a problem with grumbling, and I'm going to guess that I'm pretty normal. I've discovered recently that I'm kind of average. I'm an average kind of guy. It's mediocre, average kind of guy. That's me. I fit in with everybody else. You do a little test, and I'm right there in the 50th percentile, right there with everybody. Turns out you and I have a lot in common. We don't like to do the things we don't want to do. When you have a plan and somebody else comes along and they start to suggest that you ought to do something that you don't want to do, well, something happens on the inside. It's a struggle. It's a struggle for power. It's a struggle for authority. It's a struggle for the right to do whatever I want. And usually, we don't win that battle. Now, I was telling the guys in the early service that like those Israelites who kind of get themselves out there 3 days into the wilderness and suddenly discover that things are not as easy as they thought they might be, and now they start pointing their finger at God and Moses and everybody else. I find myself doing the same thing. When money gets tight, or when time especially gets tight, I get upset. Now, I don't have a boss who looks over my shoulder. I mean, I really don't have a supervisor here at the church. So nobody really tells me, Pastor, you need to do such and such. But I do have a family. And my family has the right and the authority to superimpose family needs and necessities over the top of my church responsibilities. I don't always like that. I hope you're not listening too well, because I don't want you guys to hold on to this, okay? So it's not like special permission dispensation I'm giving you. But you know what? Family takes priority over mission. Just in case you weren't quite sure how that all figured out, it's God first, okay? Then it's your family. And then it's your mission or your job, right? Guys, we like to do what we like to do. We like to work. We want to be successful. We're perfectionists, some of us. And so we like to put the job in a position above our family and sometimes even above God. So my family doesn't like that too much. And every now and then they'll knock on the door and say, hey, Dad, you done? Or, hey, honey, have you finished? Or they'll give me a call. Where are you? And sometimes I'll get all frustrated about that. Is it okay if I'm honest with you guys? Is it disappointing you too much? Dave, is it disappointing you that I'm not perfect? I know it's a huge revelation for you this morning. Pray for me, that's right. That's right. I make mistakes. I make conscious decisions that go against what the Lord says. What the Lord says. God says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. The word hospitable, it's what you think about. It's what I think about if I was to go to a bed and breakfast. I would want my host at the bed and breakfast to be hospitable. I would want to walk through the door and feel like I was welcome there. Not like, oh, geez, you're here? Can't you wait another 2 or 3 hours before you check in? Please, could you just go away and come back? It wouldn't make me feel too comfortable. I would expect the person to be smiling and cheerful when they come, when I show up and give them my credit card. And I would expect it to be, you know, somebody saying, hey, would you like a cup of coffee? Or this is what hospitable means to me. God says we should be hospitable to one another and love one another with sincerity. It's funny how things spiral out of control when you start grumbling. I grumble because I'm disappointed that I don't get to do what I want to do. I'm just being downright honest with you. I want to read, or I want to study, or I want to finish the paperwork. I want to do my chores. I want to do whatever. It may be legitimate stuff. But I don't like it when somebody comes and requests of me that I go a mile. What did Jesus say I should do? Go two. I'm just telling you the honest truth about myself in the hopes that maybe you can identify yourself with what I'm saying. Grumbling is a sin which God will not tolerate. It's not just a casual little mistake. It's a sin. Grumbling got the people in the wilderness a death sentence. God doesn't tolerate it. This is what happens when we grumble. As I mentioned before, we point the finger at everybody else. I'm unhappy because you made me unhappy. And God says we're responsible ourselves. Remember I showed you guys once a long time ago the illustration of the cup with water in it? You guys remember that? You guys remember that? Some of you young guys? Sean remembers that. It's good. Sean's got a good memory. Here's the illustration for you guys who weren't here. Cup with water in it, and I just bump the cup, and water goes and falls on the ground. And so I ask the question, why is there water on the ground? The answer everybody says is because you bump the cup. That's the blame game. There's water on the ground because you bumped my cup. But actually, here's the illustration. Take the water in the cup, drink it real quick, and then go ahead and bump my cup all day long. There will be no water on the floor. There was water on the floor because there was water in the cup when the cup got bumped. Can I tell you, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disillusioned. People are going to do things you don't like. They're going to request of you that you go a mile, and you're going to say, I don't want to go one, and I certainly don't want to go two. They're going to ask for the very shirt off your back. The people you love are going to ask for that. But you are to be hospitable to one another with sincere love and without grumbling. We grumble because there's water in our cup. We have an expectation, and the expectation doesn't come to pass. We get mad at everybody. We get snitty. We get all short. We raise our voices. We get ourselves all... Our language just goes out the window. The good language, that is. Bad language comes chasing right after it. Come on. We are all guilty of this. I wanted to present this to you today, and this is just the end of it. There's nothing more for you. This is what I wanted to give you. I wanted to give you this word about not grumbling because I really believe that it's part of what God wants us to begin to practice as we grow into a community that honors the Lord. That's right. Little ones and big ones alike. Grumbling is not welcome at Living Hope Family Church. Grumbling is not welcome. Check the grumbling on the other side of town before you even get in your car and drive onto this property. Grumbling is not going to make this family healthy and strong. If there's something that you're disappointed about, deal with the disappointment the right way. Talk to the people, but don't grumble. If you're under pressure, get into the presence of God. Maybe you'll discover that most of your pressure is self-imposed. I got good news for you. I finished all my work. I stayed up all night to finish my work. I got 3 days worth of work done in one night. I'm just letting you know. So I'm standing here on absolutely zero sleep. I haven't had an all-nighter for a long time. I usually get an hour or two, but no sleep. Can you believe that? Don't you feel sorry for me? Say, ah. My wife is like, I don't feel sorry for you one little bit. She knows I was grumbling and complaining all week long. She had to bear the brunt of it. I was all miserable. I'm sorry. Sorry, honey. Guys, I did get my work done, but I paid the price. Don't do what I did. Listen to what the Word says. Do all things without murmuring and complaining. You'll discover that as you give, God will bless you. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. What did he say in this passage? He said, if you speak, speak as if it's the oracles of God. Speak as if God himself is speaking. Take it seriously, whatever you say. So don't just churn out words that are meaningless or that are worse than meaningless, that are maybe negative. Instead, speak as the very oracles of God, as if God himself were using your lips and speaking through you. Imagine how beautiful that would be. So many problems we would avoid. So many fights and arguments, needless arguments that we would avoid. And then he says, if you've been given a gift, minister that gift. And I want to pick up on that word minister, because here's an important thing for you. Sometimes we just think, well, I've been given a gift, I'm going to give it to somebody else. It's like giving you $10. Here, Pat, here's $10, or maybe here's $100. Be blessed. Have a wonderful time. See you later. Right? That's how we want to give. We're like, okay, God gave me something to give to you. Here it is. Here's what I'm going to give you. You take it and I'm gone. But God wants us to minister it. What does it mean to minister? It seems like that's a lot more personal, isn't it? The choice of the word minister seems like it would take a lot of effort on our part. You don't just hand off the envelope and off you go. No, you get involved in that person's life and you minister. You give it with a personal touch. Each and every one of you have been given gifts from God. You are stewards of what God has given. So take what God has given you, minister it to others, and do all without grumbling. Father, thank you for your word. May it strike us in our hearts. The 7-Eleven inconvenience. Oh God, may your peace be our portion. In Jesus' name, amen.